What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take our look, our last look for this week, our Friday morning look, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. And we're going to start off with antidepressants. Panamanian boxer Athena Bailon continues to make history by achieving a victory by a decision over Cindy Ngamba and will compete for the gold medal in the 75-kilogram final at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Bailon showed a good combat plan in which she sought to take advantage of her distance with the jab and moving to the sides. The objective worked perfectly against an opponent like Ngamba, who always went forward, taking advantage of her speed and aggressiveness. This made the judges decide to give the fight to Bailon with cards 4-1. Thank God we achieved our goal. We have to give it our all until the last round is heard, she said. And with this result, Bailon will have to face China's Li Qian on Saturday, August the 10th, for the Olympic gold medal. Bailon, a native of the San Miguelito district, had just beaten Kazakha Valentina Kazalova in the round of 16 and had to go all out in the quarterfinals to defeat Polish Elisabetta Wojciak 3-2. Athena Bailon is the first Panamanian athlete to win an Olympic medal. In addition, it is the first medal for Panamanian amateur boxing. She also joins now the likes of Lloyd Labich and Irving Saladino as the only athletes from the Isthmus to win a medal at the Olympic Games. And continuing on, the triumph of Panamanian boxer Athena Bailon on Thursday, which gives her now the pass to compete for the gold medal in boxing at the Paris Olympics, was celebrated by the President of the Republic, José Romelino, together with leaders of political parties. The president had a meeting on his agenda with the main leaders of the political groups to analyse the economic situation of the Social Security Fund, which coincided with the three rounds of glory that Bailon had. But once the decision was announced in favour of the Panamanian and the referee raised her hand in a sign of victory, shouts of joy and applause from those present could be heard in the meeting room. Several people, including Molino, stood up to celebrate this victory for Panama. And with this result, Bailon will now have to face, as we mentioned, China's Li Qian on Saturday, August the 10th, for the Olympic Games gold medal. And that will also be same time as yesterday, 3 p.m. Right, that is the antidepressants. The Institute for the Training and Utilization of Human Resources, IFARU, distributed $380,833,655.91 in non-reimbursable financial aid and other programs between 2014 and 2024, according to a list released this Thursday by the Presidency of the Republic. The list contains the names of 23,631 beneficiaries. The amount awarded, the amount disbursed, the date and the details of the educational institution and the chosen career. The information provided this Thursday complements the interactive database that La Prensa presented on the 9th of April of this year with 4,903 beneficiaries, although only 2,144 were identified by name. Of the economic aid distributed by IFARU between the 7th of July of 2019 and May the 24th of 2023. This action marks a turning point in the management of these public funds, since until now, IFARU had been determined to hide the information. In fact, Bernardo Nando Meneses, who was director of IFARU until last January, told the National Authority for Transparency and Access to Information that he would not hand over the files of those who benefited from these public funds because they are personal data, and according to him, it is information that cannot be shared. Well, to top it all off, the Comptroller General of the Republic took a further step towards opacity and decided to classify the information as financial aid as confidential. In contrast, José Romelino, who took office as President of the Republic on the 1st of July, had publicly committed to putting an end to the secrecy and to disclose the information, which he did on Thursday. And the President of the Republic, José Romelino, was approached by La Prensa this Thursday in relation to the constant political interventions of former President Ricardo Martinelli from the headquarters of the Nicaraguan Embassy in Panama, where he is in asylum. The Foreign Ministry is working on it. "That's the most I can tell you," Molina replied when asked if he had given any instructions to prevent former President Martinelli from continuing with these actions. Martinelli is actively involved in Panamanian politics and has criticised the decisions made by the President, Molina himself. When the presidency of the Credentials Committee was being contested in the National Assembly between Alexander Brenes from the Vamos Coalition and Shirley Castaneda from Realizando Metas RM, that's Martinelli's party, the former president tried to attack the independent. Molina won the general elections on the 5th of May, with the party realising goals after Martinelli was disqualified for his 10-year prison sentence in the New Business case. Former President Martinelli was a central figure in the party's presidential campaigning, appearing in messages alongside Molina. Martinelli carries out these actions in contradiction with the conventions that regulate the figure of asylum. The 1928 Asylum Convention, one of those invoked by Daniel Ortega's regime to grant protection to the former president, establishes in its fifth article that while asylum lasts, asylum seekers will not be permitted to engage in acts contrary to public tranquility. Meanwhile, the 1954 Convention on Diplomatic Asylum reinforces this provision and adds, "The asylum granting official shall not permit asylum seekers to engage in acts contrary to public tranquility, nor to intervene in the internal politics of the territorial state." Dino Mon. He's an actuary. This means that he's an expert in the application of statistical and mathematical models for risk assessment in the insurance and financial industries. He was appointed this Wednesday as the new director of the Social Security Fund, the CSS, by President José Raúl Molino. The president changed the course of the last administrations, which opted to appoint doctors or administrators in the entity. Bomón arrives as the most critical moment for the CSS, with a bankrupt pension subsystem, severe administrative and technological problems, and huge investments in sight. His name was one of those considered as director of the entity during the administration of Laurentino Cortizo, but at that time his appointment did not materialise, nor was there any progress made on a reform to the pension system to stop the economic erosion of the subsystem exclusively for disability, old age and death. The actuary was at the head of MAFRE Panama for more than 20 years. He resigned from that position in 2018 when he decided to enter the world of insurance independently and in consulting through the USAAAR group. Well, between 2022 and 2024, Mon assumed responsibility advisory actuary for the IFRS 17 transformation project at the Superintendency of Insurance and Reinsurance of Panama. He also participated from the private sector in the analyses and efforts that were made to reform the CSS pension system in 2005. Mon was reportedly involved in several working groups that analysed the pension system crisis, the results of which were delivered to President Molina. This approach would have been a point in favour of the actuary for the president to appoint him to head the CSS. An actuary plays a crucial role in the reform of pension systems. He or she analyses long-term sustainability through detailed projections of benefits and costs. In addition, creates scenario models to assess the impact of potential changes or reforms and advises on investment strategies that maximize fund performance. Mon has publicly stated that the funds for the exclusive defined benefit subsystem will run out. When? This year. The question, however, is how retirees will continue to receive their checks. Mon has explained that in the short term, the current administration can adjust the accounts and manage the flow of money to avoid immediate problems. However, this government will not have the capacity to continue postponing such a situation. 2 years ago, he said the government would probably not be able to avoid paying $1 billion a year, while another $1.4 billion would be raised through changes to the system's parameters. According to the latest reports from the CSS, Technical Actuarial Board, more than $14 billion would be needed to cover pension payments during this decade. According to the 2023 census, the total population of the India River Basin is 13,640 people. It was estimated that around 2,264 people lived in the area that will be affected by the project, of which 2,000, or the equivalent of about 500 families, were within the reservoir area. Amilcar Gonzalez, a supervisor specializing in control and monitoring of Panama Canal projects, announced that in order to know exactly the number of people living in that region, they have started a new census last week to update all the information specifically for the area that is affected. In this area, there are not only houses, there are also churches. There are schools and other facilities. The number one priority for the canal is to serve the community. That is why the census began last week. He explained that they're looking to identify the number of homes, the number of families, the economic activity that they're engaged in addition to the dynamics of the community in general, as well as the businesses and establishments that compromise it. We're doing a census house by house, community by community, to be able to have information on how many people require care and thus develop the resettlement plan. What we want is for them not to be affected and to be able to provide them not only with what they have today, but something better, he added. He reported that for this census, a direct contract number has been activated so that the community in the area can also communicate with the Panama Canal Authority on 6671-8653. That's Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. or by email. The email is, this is to send it to, consultasprogramahidrico@pancanal.com. We need the community to understand the importance of this project, said Gonzalez at the 13th Symposium on Energy and Water Industries of the Panamanian Industries Union. He said that they have four offices to serve the communities in the area and that a fifth office will open next week. Following the census, they will draw up a resettlement action plan, and next year they will begin developing formulas to implement compensation measures for the communities that will be affected. He stressed that the solution to the reservoir on the India River is the most viable and will represent water benefits for the country, since this infrastructure is intended to provide water to the population and reduce the pressure on the canal from the water treatment plants. And that's it. There we go. There's our look. Those are some of the items in the local news here in the Republic of Panama compiled for you for this morning's programme.